This is program number 14, March the 19th, 2024. Good morning, and welcome back to the Basic Bible Study. It's a beautiful day. Glad you're here today, enjoying the radio station that we have, KALT, and I'm just very grateful that we're able to continue to be able to be broadcasted, not only just over the internet, but possibly in the future back on the radio again in our area, and that'd be exciting. We're looking forward if that can happen. Y'all just pray that it will, that everything will work out to where we can get back on the AM and possibly the FM as well, and that would be pretty cool to get back on in our area like we've had for years, you know. And so hopefully we can get back on that. But just keep that in your prayers, okay? Hey, listen, I just want to say thank you for being a part of my broadcast. All of those that listen in, very grateful. Our purpose is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, and a great way to do that is on the air. There's a lot of people that listen to radio, that listen through the internet, and it's a good way to be able to get the gospel message out. And so we're grateful that we can do that, and we appreciate KALT for allowing us to be a part of this ministry that they're doing here. It's a great thing, so appreciate that. But hey, look, also, I pastor Macedonia Baptist Church over in Doddridge. Actually, it's the Bright Star Community. A lot of folks remember the Bright Star Community. Used to have a school there years ago, but ended up having to merge because of a lack of students in that area, in our area. So, but it's a great little place, great little community, great church that the Lord's allowed me to pastor for now 17 years. We've been there at Macedonia. I'm very grateful. We've seen some good things. We've gone through some battles, and the Lord is blessed and victorious over all of those battles. And the church is thriving very well right now. Matter of fact, we've had a really good year last year, and we're anticipating another good year this year. The Lord's going to bless, and we're going to see an increase. But just good people that love the Lord, very unified, I guess you could say it. We're in harmony, and it's a great church. So I'd love for you to come visit with us if you're looking for a church. We have Sunday morning service we have Sunday school at 9:45, and then we have 10:45 worship service Sunday night at 6, and then 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights. And we have a youth program also on Wednesday nights as well. So bring your kiddos, okay? Good deal. Let me start out with a song here, and then we're going to be in Mark chapter 3. If you have your Bibles and you're able to look on, we're going to look at a subject about sinning against the Holy Spirit. So Mark chapter 3 is where we're going to be at. All right, let's do this song. It's called A New Name in Glory. Hopefully you know this song. If you do, sing along with us. Here we go.
I was once a sinner, but I came pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that He always kept His word. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And a white robe angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not but God's angry frown. When the heavens opened and I saw that my name was written down, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And a white robe angels sing the story, a sinner There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. In the book 'tis written, saved by grace, oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white robe angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam.
Amen. Very good. It's a good song. It's kind of a quick song. You got to really watch the words when you're doing this song, because it is quick. You can't make a mistake very quick. I mean, you can't make a mistake and recover without anybody noticing anyways. But it's a good song. I love it. It's a new name written down in glory. And hopefully your name is written down in the book of life. And I pray that it is. And how you stay in the book of life is that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that's what this is all about. That's what we try to preach here on this station. Is Jesus, and He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by Him. It's only through Him can we be saved, and we must call upon Him. We must put our trust in Jesus Christ and His work, what He did on the cross of Calvary. And what He did on the cross is He died for the sins of the world. He loved us so much that He would go to the cross, and He would take our place. He would pay the price, which is the scripture says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So hopefully you've done that. If you haven't done that, you don't need a preacher. You don't need anybody else. You don't need no friends, parents, or anything. All you need is Jesus, and that's who you need to talk to, because it's between you and Him. And you call on Him and ask Him to come into your life, and He will, and He'll save your soul. And then get into a good Bible preaching, teaching church where you can grow in the Lord. And then be baptized, identify yourself as a believer who is confessing publicly that you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So those are some opportunities for those that are not in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so let me read this passage that we're at, Mark chapter 3. Let me kind of give you some background here of what's going on before we get, because we're going to look at verse, actually 28, 29, and verse 30. But to kind of give you some background, you have to look above here in this and keep all this in context. It says up in verse 20 there, what it is where Jesus has come together. And there were a multitude of people that were around Him. And in verse 21, His own people, He went, when His own people heard, they went out and they grabbed hold of Jesus. And they were making accusations that He was beside Himself. In other words, He was out of His mind. And of course, the scribes, which are Pharisees, these are Jewish people as well. The scribes were they were scholars. I mean, these were people who would record as well as knew the scripture. They knew the Old Testament. They came to also in the before Jesus, and they had made a statement that He had Beelzebub. In other words, he was possessed of the devil. And it says it was by the by the prince of the devils, which talking about the devil himself, Satan, he was casting out devils. So Jesus had been doing some healing. He'd been casting out demons, and they were accusing him of being possessed by a demon or the devil himself. And then, of course, Jesus, you know, uses a parable to correct them. And he says in verse 23, how can Satan cast out Satan? It was a good question. And if the kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But, and this is the key verse here, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but in danger, and that word in danger meaning subject to eternal damnation, and that word would mean condemnation or judgment, okay? Because they said he hath an unclean spirit. In other words, they were rejecting Jesus' gospel message. And of course, the Holy Spirit is who we're referring to here, the Holy Ghost, God. There is one God made up of three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, we have the Father, we have the Son, which was God in the flesh, Jesus, and then we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus mentioned that as he ascended, had ascended to heaven, that he would send the Holy Spirit down. And so we have God with us now through the Holy Spirit, who's in the air that we breathe, who is in every believer who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So now it's a question here I want to ask, and I want you to think about it just for a second. Will the Holy Spirit stop dealing with you? That's an interesting question. We know that the Spirit of God is with us and around us, and he's trying to draw all to Christ. That's what he does. That's one of his purposes, is to draw people to Jesus Christ. We call it conviction. And then also the believer, he lives inside the believer, so he is trying to conform us into the image of Christ. So he's trying to make us more like Jesus, okay? So he's cleaning us up. We listen to him. We listen to the moving of the Holy Spirit in our own lives, and he guides us, and he teaches us what we need to learn. So that's very important to understand. Okay, so will the Holy Spirit stop dealing with you? And I think this question can easily be answered by two thoughts here. One is continual resistance. I'm going to read something that's in my study Bible that I have here. It says, the callousness of the heart that leads to a perverse heart cuts itself off from saving grace, where there can be no reconciliation. God gives the guilty party over to that ruler whom the person has willfully chosen to elevate above the Son of God. So what basically this is saying here, and again, this is just something that's a commentary in my study Bible. This is not what God wrote down, but this is basically what is explaining a continual resistance against the Holy Spirit, is when a person is being convicted of the Holy Spirit and they continue to resist the Holy Spirit, then they become callous to it, okay? After a while, they become callous to it, and their hearts become hardened toward the convicting of the Holy Spirit. And we must have the drawing of the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches that the Father will draw all men unto him, unto the Lord. And so we must be drawn, and we're drawn by the Holy Spirit. You don't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to be saved. The Holy Spirit's drawing on you, and he's pulling you to that. When you resist that, and you continue to resist that, you become very callous to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, to the point your heart becomes hardened. And at that time, it talks about in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, where people had resisted and began to just do their own thing in life and resisted the Holy Spirit. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So what does that mean? That means that he turns them over to a useless mind because it's become hardened. And because of not only this continuous resistance, but also the foreknowledge of God, God knows who's going to be saved and God knows who's not going to be saved. Now, I'm not a Calvinist by no means. And I don't believe that God chose from before the foundation of the earth who will and who will not. I believe that God gave us all a free will. And we're all born with that. We're all born with a free will. Adam and Eve in the garden, they both had a free will. God said, don't eat the tree. So they had to make a choice, either obey God or disobey God. And they chose to disobey God. So they had a choice there that they made. So, but I believe that God knows. I don't think that God interferes in any way as far as not allowing people the opportunity. I think he gives everybody an opportunity, but he also knows that person is not going to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and be saved. But he tries everything. And the reason I say that is, you know, what is God's desire for all mankind? Well, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, that's everybody, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8 says that God commendeth his love, means he demonstrated his love, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 17 of John 3 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn, which means to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So he came with that purpose, which is to open up that opportunity for everybody, the whole world, everybody that was and is and will be. And Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. There's several other scriptures, John 6:44, John chapter 12, verse 32. God wants people not to die and go to hell. But will people reject Christ and go to hell? Yes, they will. But, you know, it's by our own choice. We face the wrath of God. We, as people, determine our own eternal fate. And we do through this free will that God has given to us. John 3:36, let me read this one to you. He that believeth on the Son hath the everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And that has to do with us rejecting the Spirit. And the Spirit draws us, and that's what he does. But even as a saved person, he also is there to not only, he's trying to draw us to do what's right and to guide us in the right direction so that we live more of a conformed life to Christ. And sometimes we resist that as well, and we call that backsliding. And that's what we do. We fall out of that will of God. The will of God is that we live for him after we're saved. And of course, I've been there. I know what that's like, and I don't want to ever go to do that again. I don't want to fall out of the will of God. I want to stay in the will of God and continue to grow in his grace because it's a tough time. Because he's a loving father, and he'll do everything he can to draw us back to him. There's five sins we're going to look at that blasphemes the Holy Spirit: lying, despising, resisting, grieving, and quenching. But there's a key element to not sin against the Holy Spirit, and that's to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be filled by the Holy Spirit, and to be illuminated by the Holy Spirit. So let's look real quick here. There's these 5 points. Number one is lying to the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 8, I think it is. It talks about a couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira. And they were a couple that knew Jesus, were saved. And at the time, what people that had things, that had money, they would sell like their land or whatever. They would give a certain amount of money at the apostles' feet, and the apostles would distribute that so that everybody had everything that they needed. Talking about the family of God, the church people, as well as anybody else that they could help. And that's what they did. So they had all things that were like in common. Okay. What happened was is that Ananias and Sapphira had a piece of land that they were going to sell. And obviously they had determined in their own minds, both of them together, that they were going to give a certain amount of the profits to the apostles so that they could distribute that out. And so when Ananias came to give that money to, and Ananias inspired that money to Peter, then they had not given exactly what they had promised the Lord that they would give. And so they gave a portion of that. And then, of course, Peter, you know, realizes that they had not lied against him, but they had lied against the Holy Spirit because they had gone against what they had told the Holy Spirit. So be careful what you commit to the Lord, because he knows that and he never forgets those things. Okay, so he holds on to those things, and when Ananias had come to Peter, of course, he dies in there because he had lied to the Holy Spirit, and they had buried him. And then his wife came, I guess, looking for her husband, and she also died because she was also knew about it. And so that's what sin does. We end up dragging others in, and it affects others as well. And let me just say this, sin always leads to destruction. It does, always. Ultimately, all the sins of the world is going to lead to destruction. And that'll be the wrath of God, the judgment of God on sin. And he'll destroy that. So their sin became their hypocrisy, I guess you could say. They kept back. They were severely judged. Both of them would lose their lives because they had lied to the Holy Spirit. And of course, when that happened, as that happened, the example of that happened, judgment caused great fear among the people. People started thinking, hey, you know, maybe there is something about this. So we see lying is a sin to the Holy Spirit. When we lie to the Holy Spirit, that's a sin. When we despise the Holy Spirit, or despising the Holy Spirit, in Hebrews chapter 10, what does the word despise mean? It means to insult. So when we insult the Holy Spirit, or we put the Holy Spirit down in some way, or we even question the power of the Holy Spirit. In this passage, let me read it to you real quick because I need to hurry here. I'm going to run out of time. Won't be able to get through all this. But over here in Hebrews chapter 10, in this passage here, verse 29, let me read it to you real quick here. Turn my page. It says, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be, though worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, whereas he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So that's the question. And then verse 30, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. So the answer to the question is that the Lord knows, and he will judge his people. Verse 31, it says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So what it means is trampling God's very own Son underfoot, meaning rejecting Jesus Christ as your Savior, counting the blood of Christ an unholy thing. In other words, considering the blood of Christ useless in saving a person. When someone makes that kind of statement, it's not true, of course. Then you're despising the Holy Spirit, and despising the Spirit be ignoring the conviction of the Spirit, or even living a hypocritical life as a believer. So lying is a sin, despising is a sin to the Holy Spirit, and then resisting the Holy Spirit. In the Genesis chapter 6, in the days of the flood, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And in verse 5, he says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So what God had seen, and this is before the flood, was that the people of the land had become very wicked. even to the point that it just seemed like everything, their whole mind was engulfed with doing evil in that time. Kind of reminds you of our times now, doesn't it? Where we're, what we're living today. So the Lord had made a statement, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Of course, we know what happened. 120 years later, a flood would come and it would destroy all of mankind except for Noah and his family. He's going to withdraw. He would withdraw his spirit from these people. Judgment would come. When we resist the Holy Spirit, it means that we harden our hearts toward the Holy Spirit. We create a bitterness in our spirit itself. And it makes, as a person, we do things that we wouldn't normally do. So we resist the Holy Spirit. Resisting the Holy Spirit is a sin. So lying, despising, resisting. Number four, grieving the Holy Spirit. When we grieve the Holy Spirit, in Isaiah 63:10, the prophet here, as he wrote, says, "But they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit," meaning that they grieved His Holy Spirit. Therefore, He was turning to be their enemy and fought against them, against Israel. God had to discipline Israel as a loving father, and God's hand of discipline had to be strong, and it appeared as though He was their enemy. But contrary to appearance, God was trying to correct their behavior. So when we grieve the Spirit, what does it mean? Ephesians 4:30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption." What does it mean to grieve the Spirit of God? It means to pain, to offend, or even to sadden. And there's four ways the Holy Spirit can be grieved. One is we allow impure things to enter into our life and our thought. That grieves the Spirit. I'm talking to the Christian now, to the believer. You have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. When we allow impure things, evil things, sinful things to come into our lives and our thoughts, then that grieves the Holy Spirit. Remember where He's at. He's in you, okay? He's in your body. He's in your soul. He's there. He lives with us. So He sees it all, and He sees all of this being a part of our lives, and it grieves Him. It's when we behave immorally. It's when we behave immorally, when we do things that we know are not right, then it grieves the Holy Spirit. When we act unjustly, when we do things that are dishonest, or things that are shady, that displeases the Holy Spirit that is inside of us. It grieves Him. Participating in anything that is contrary to the nature of the Holy Spirit. Of course, the Holy Spirit is God, so God is going to lead us toward perfection, and eventually will change us perfectly. When we are glorified, when the Lord comes back for us. So lying is a sin to the Holy Spirit. Despising is the sin toward the Holy Spirit. Resisting the Holy Spirit. And then grieving the Holy Spirit of God, as we mentioned. And then lastly, quenching the Holy Spirit of God. When we quench the Holy Spirit, what does it mean? It means suppressing the Spirit. And 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, "Quench not the Spirit." Ways we quench is when we stop the Spirit from moving in our lives. We try to resist against Him. We suppress Him, ignoring the Spirit. We try to think of something else that would take our mind off of the Spirit that is working in our life. When we neglect the Holy Spirit, when we should have the Holy, we should be depending and leaning on the Holy Spirit. We neglect Him. When we disobey the Spirit, when He pulls on our hearts and tells us the right way to go, and we disobey Him, and we just flat out disobey Him. So what is the key? We see that, let me look at these five again: lying, despising, resisting, grieving, and quenching the Spirit. So what is the key in not sin against the Holy Spirit? First of all, we must be led by the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not in thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." So when we trust in Him, we are being led by Him. We believe Him, and we follow the Holy Spirit of God. And then number two, being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's when we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with His power and to work through us. That's allowing Him to work in our bodies, in our souls, in our spirit, and that we do things for the Lord, and we're serving Him. And then number three, being illuminated with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." It's when we allow the Holy Spirit to be seen through our life. Now, we have to ask the question, have you sinned against the Holy Spirit of God? Then we have to make it right. Who do we make it right to? To God Himself. So the challenge is let the Holy Spirit lead in our life. What does that mean? It means to listen to Him and to obey Him and to follow Him. So listen to the Spirit. He's there. He's not your enemy. He's your friend. And He wants to help you. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to lead you. He wants to teach you. He wants to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. That's why He's there. And He will help you and protect you and do all those things for you if you will just open up your heart and let Him move and let Him work, and then just trust Him and follow Him. And He'll guide you in the path that you need to go. And if you're lost, listen to Him. He's trying to pull you to Jesus Christ so that you can know Him as your Lord and Savior. Let me pray with you. Thank you, Lord, again for the Word and the power of the Word. And I pray You'll use it and You'll convict our hearts through Your Spirit. And Lord, if there is somebody here that doesn't know You as Lord and Savior, that right now Your Spirit would move upon them in a special way, and that they would yield to Your Spirit, and they would be drawn by Your Spirit, and they would look to Jesus as their Savior, and today they would be saved. Please bless there now. Thank you again for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, folks. Thank you again for listening in, and Lord willing, I'll see you again next week. God bless.